What's up, everybody? Before we get into today's episode, we would like to give a quick shout out to the Cup to Cup Comedy Podcast, featuring lifelong friends bringing a great mix of morning radio and 2 a.m. thoughts. Check out their great podcast, available everywhere you get your podcasts.
Also, listeners, we'd like to talk to you about the Black and Gold Podcast. It's a hockey podcast focused for Bruins fans. They talk about the NHL Bruins, the AHL Bruins, and even a little ECHL talk with the Atlanta Gladiators. If you're a Bruins fan and looking for a podcast, this is the podcast for you.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside Anthony the Backup. How the hell are you, buddy?
Fantastic. Once again, it's a Friday evening. We're recording back on our normal schedule.
Very
happy to be back. We have a lot to cover. There's been hockey now for 2 weeks.
Such exciting hockey.
We've been able to see some teams get into such rhythms. We've seen some teams do the opposite.
Really, we
have a lot to talk about today.
We have a lot to talk about for sure. Coming up on the show as our main event, like Anthony said, we are getting into who's hot and who's not, and we're going to elaborate a little bit on those hot teams and those not teams. And we'll discuss if it can last or not. We've also got Pims of the Week. We've got our start sits call ups. We've got a loaded show. You're not going to want to miss a thing. We've had so much exciting hockey. Like I said, you're not going to want to miss a thing. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, though. Let me get the plugs out of the way. You can follow us on all social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. And, of course, you may be watching us on YouTube right now, but those listening at home right now on the audio, we're on YouTube at the Power Play Podcast.
Listening at home only on audio, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Get
on YouTube.
You can see us.
Exactly. You can see our beautiful
faces.
We'll
come right to your living room.
Exactly. You can put us on your TV. You can put us on your tablet, computer, iPhone. You can see the beautiful people's studio. You're not going to want to miss it. Follow us on YouTube. Smash that subscribe button at the Power Play Pod. And is that it? Is that all the plugs? Did I check everything off the list here?
I think that covers everything.
Perfect.
Let's get
right down to it, buddy. We're getting into our starts, or our Pims of the Week, sorry. We're getting into our Pims.
2 seconds in and Vinny's already messed up.
The thing is, I don't have my notes anywhere. I don't have my notes anywhere right now.
Who needs notes? Who needs notes?
We've got our Pims.
Do you want me to pull them up here for you so you can stay on track?
It's okay. I'll pull them up here. We're going into our Pims of the Week here. And our 2 minutes here, actually, I should have just did that to pull it up here. Let's see here. Two minutes is going to – did we move? What's our 2 minutes, Anthony? What's our 2 minutes?
Okay, well, anyways, thanks. Thanks, Vinny.
There it goes. Okay.
There they are. You want to do it?
I'll get it now.
All right, go ahead and get into it there, bud.
I got this. Pims of the Week, starting off, 2 minutes going to the Tampa Bay Lightning for really struggling to start this season and losing to the Ottawa Senators this past week. What was it, 4-2?
Tough
that
look.
Final score?
4-2, very tough look. Did not look good in the game. They made Ottawa look like a playoff team, which they are not.
They are really not, and it's mind-blowing to see Tampa. We've talked about it before. We're going to talk about it a little bit later with the who's hot and who's not. But Tampa coming off of the disappointing finish last season, you thought they would have come off a little bit stronger, but we'll get into it a little bit more.
Like just coming out of the gate on fire.
Oh, yeah.
After that long offseason, you think they'd just be ripping and rolling.
And they're not.
We'll talk about that more later. We will.
For sure.
I have a lot to say about that. What's the 4 minutes?
Four minutes is going to Mike Babcock for his poor usage of Austin Matthews Wednesday night as the Maple Leafs took on the Washington Capitals. Austin Matthews... Let's play a game here. Final 3 minutes, Toronto's down by one. What was Austin Matthews' ice time in the last 3 minutes of that game? Down by one.
What was it or what should it have been?
What do you think it should have been?
Okay, because I know how much it was. I think he should have been out there for half of that, preferably the last half of it.
At least a minute of the 3 minutes left.
The last half of that should have been very Austin Matthews heavy.
19 seconds. Austin Matthews was on the ice for a total of 19 seconds in the last 3 minutes of the hockey game between the Washington Capitals and the Toronto Maple Leafs in a close game, in a one-goal game. That's unacceptable, Mike Babcock. Figure it out. You're getting 4 minutes here, bud.
Absolutely. It's a tough look for Babs. He has been known as one of the best coaches in the NHL, and there has been the opposite argument that he's just always had very good teams.
Exactly.
So he's been the benefactor of talent. And moves like this make me think those people are correct.
That's true. And Toronto fans are livid over it. I read an article the other day about it.
I would be too.
And so they are rightfully so. 4 minutes going to Mike Babcock for the poor usage of Austin Matthews.
Well deserved.
And 5 minutes here, folks. Love it or hate it.
Waiting for this one.
Love it or hate it. We're giving it the athletic knit jersey, athletic knit jerseys for existing.
No, not for existing, because they serve their purpose.
Okay, that's fair.
But the athletic
knit
jerseys.
They serve their purpose in men's league.
Yes, my men's league jerseys are athletic knit.
Yikes.
But they don't belong in the ECHL. I feel like that's a huge downgrade from the CCM sweaters. I went and saw an ECHL game live the other night. It was our hometown Jacksonville Icemen against the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. And the jerseys, they all just look cheap. They were ill-fitting. Some of the smaller players on the Swamp Rabbits, the jerseys went almost to their knees.
Yeah, it's just not a good look.
They just didn't look good. It was like watching two men's league teams play the way they looked.
Yeah, that's just unacceptable.
Huge downgrade.
It is a downgrade. 5 minutes going to that. I mean, it's going to be interesting or fun to see the promotional night sweaters, like the Marvel night and the Nickelodeon night and all that kind of stuff.
Half the time, those were already made by Athletic Knit.
Yeah, but
so I never really had a problem with the promotional jerseys, but the main home and away really would have been great to keep them CCM-er. You know how they went to Warrior for their equipment? I would have been more okay with using Warrior brand jerseys, because Warrior does make jerseys. You don't see them very often, but they do make jerseys. I would have been way more comfortable seeing Warrior brand jerseys than Athletic Knit jerseys, which is, it cheapens up everything. And I will say, to Warrior's credit, I was a little pessimistic about Warrior taking over the gear.
I'm not a big Warrior fan.
They look good. I'll say the Warrior gear looked good the other night.
Yeah, that's fair. I was not there. I will be at the next Iceman game, of course, but it's just a tough look right now for the East Coast League and the Iceman jerseys. It's just real tough. So 5 minutes going to the Athletic Knit jerseys, 4 minutes going to Mike Babcock for the poor usage of Austin Matthews, and 2 minutes going to the Tampa Bay Lightning for
losing to the Ottawa Senators,
losing to the Ottawa Senators.
Rough
basically.
Start, but mostly the Ottawa Senators loss.
So moving on, and this is something that I should have opened up with, and it's my question of the day. I actually have a serious
question.
A
little
I
quick
hear your
question,
take.
Huh?
I want to hear your take on this. It's been on my mind for a while.
Let's see what's going on.
What is your something that's been sweeping the sports world as of late? Has been the development of advanced stats and the importance of advanced stats in the league. And there's literally two sides of it. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying one side's wrong and one side's right. But there's that side that believes advanced stats are huge and there's a huge importance on them, and that's what you need to be focusing on. And then there's the other side that is against advanced stats and doesn't think it has a place in this game. I want to see where you lie on this topic, Anthony. Where do you stand on advanced stats?
Like most things, I meet somewhere in the middle.
Switzerland.
I think I always end up being like that. I can see both sides most of the time if it's fair.
And there is
a place in the game for advanced stats. I think it can be very important and very helpful when determining between two players who are very similar. Looking at their games that way helps, but there cannot be an over-reliance on advanced stats. You have to be able to use your eyes, what I call the eye test. I think most professional scouts would agree that if they see all these fancy stats and they're like, wow, this guy should be great on paper, and then they see the kid play and it's very underwhelming, you have to be able to separate yourself from what you see on paper and what you're seeing on the ice.
Yeah, there's a big, I mean, there can be a very big difference between what you see on paper and what you see on ice. You can't stat heart and soul. You can't stat what the player is doing in certain moments on the ice when you're down by one, if they're laying the big hit, things like that. I'm on your side. I'm pretty much right there with you, and that's why I asked this question, because I wanted to put it out there where our stance was on it, because it's a topic that I've been hearing a lot of as of late, with the advanced stats becoming a huge thing. We're seeing it in baseball. We're starting to see it more in football. Hockey has been a very big believer in advanced stats the past few years. And I think it was – I wanted to hear that take. I wanted that take to be out there.
It's a great supplement and helpful.
There's got to be the balance.
It just can't be the only thing you're looking at. You have to be able to watch a player and say, okay, these are great stats, but he's lacking in – heart. He's not going into these dirty areas that when you're in the NHL, your fancy stats that you had in juniors or in college, that's great, but everyone's a superstar in those leagues, and it's the intangibles that don't show up and the fancy stats, the advanced stats, that keep guys in the league.
Yeah, and I mean, they do a great, the advanced stats do a great job in what their purpose is, but like you said, there has to be that middle ground, that balance between the fancy stats and what you see on the ice. And for those listening at home right now, take that advice here. There's got to be that balance, because you don't want to be straight towards one side too much. It's not a good look.
Most everything is usually like that. The truth is usually somewhere in the middle. I'm not a huge believer in, oh, it's always this, it's always that. You have to be able to see both sides, form your own opinion, and see that it's not always so black and white.
Definitely.
I've seen some arguments lately, a little off topic, but bringing it back. I'll bring it back.
Off the rails.
It's us. We're off the rails. We're always off the rails.
It's fair. It's us.
I've seen some back and forth chatter about Hughes and Capo.
Oof.
You know, Hughes is never going to be a team player, just a goal scorer. Or Capo, just a goal scorer, never going to be a team player. Hughes is this team player. It's like they're both so young, and you're looking at such a microcosm of what their careers are going to be. It's impossible to say these things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It really is. And
you need to be able to watch the games and see how these players, they're both 18.
Form an opinion based
they're
off.
They're both 18. Yeah. Let them develop before you make an opinion on who these future guys are going to be. That being said, I think they're both going to be great NHL players.
Exactly. Yeah, I 100% agree.
I think in a few years, they're going to be taking over as the superstars in this league.
And spoiler alert, I'm going to be talking about Jack Hughes in just a little bit. And might as well get into it right now. We're going to go right into the starts, the sits, and the call-ups. Anthony, we're going with you here, buddy. Wild card it up. Where are you going?
Let's see here. Let me check the notes here. There's been so much going on since the season started.
And you know what's funny?
I have changed my starts and call-ups like three times since our last episode.
And it's funny because in our notes, and I just looked at it right there, Anthony never puts it in the right order on our notes either. It's supposed to be start, sit, call-up. Anthony in the notes has always been start, call-up, sit. He lives his own life. He lives by his own rules.
It's part of being a wild card.
Wow.
You wouldn't understand. So today I'm going to start with my start.
Oh, yeah?
How about that?
Oh, yeah?
How about that? You weren't expecting that,
lame.
Were you? Yeah, you weren't expecting that, were you? So my start is going to be Scott Sabourin. Some may remember him in the preseason as the player that Austin Matthews did the jersey check on, who was like, oh, who are you, kid? This kid ended up making the roster opening night, scores a goal opening night, and the main reason I'm starting, he had the balls to fight Ryan Reeves last night.
And he initiated that
fight. He wanted it. It gave his team a huge boost. They ended up losing in a shootout, unfortunately.
But they got to that point.
They played a hard game against a good Vegas Knights team. And hats off to that. He had to be my start after that.
Did you scroll up and see he was listed as in my notes? Like I was telling
Anthony before. No, I didn't see that.
I was telling Anthony before the show, I have three starts, and I told him once we get to my starts.
I didn't mean steal your start, buddy.
No. That makes my life easy.
Okay, good.
That makes
my
life easy because I don't have to choose between the three. Now I just have to choose between two. But that was literally what I was going to say with that kid is – he's got the balls to pick a fight with Ryan Reeves, one of the arguably the toughest guy in the league. He initiates the fight off the draw, and I mean and
Reeves just looked intimidating. The stare down. He's so calm.
He's confident.
It's chilling how calm and confident he is in a fight. And Sabourin stood in there, got a couple of good punches in, but inevitably Reeves took him down. But
Reeves caught one of his
punches. Come on, man.
Reeves
caught in his hand. I saw the slow motion. It's unreal.
The
guy's an anomaly, and there's no one who could touch him in the league as far as toughness.
And he's got character, too.
Oh, he does.
That's great.
The WWE-style promos he cut against the other Canada being the season. Unreal.
Definitely.
The best. Anyways,
what's next,
buddy?
Before
we waste too much more time on that, let me get to my call-up, and I'm calling up Sonny Milano.
Ooh.
This kid – with the unreal between the legs goal after a nice move around the defender, beats Ben Bishop to the blocker side on a breakaway. If you haven't seen it, you need to Google it right now and
or
check
it
out.
Or just go on to our Twitter at the Power Play Pod.
I haven't posted it.
Well, I'm just going to say you should share, right?
I may not.
You should definitely. I'm putting the pressure on you, buddy.
You should check to see if I did. And if I did, you should like it.
And if you did, and if he didn't, at Anthony A. Milani34
you could
on,
at me
on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Don't at me, bro.
Don't at me, bro.
Don't
no,
at
that
me,
was,
bro.
You know, that goal is absolutely incredible. And
To do it in a game.
That's the thing. That's what I wanted to go into. It's like to see those goals happen, like you're starting to see a little bit more of those fancy goals more and more now in the league.
These kids are so cocky coming into the league, I tell you.
And that's the thing. Like from a hockey player's standpoint, like from me not being good at all really at like anything,
it takes guts to even attempt
it
that.
it takes an incredible amount of guts to do that.
Absolutely.
Move to pull that move. Like hockey is such a split, like your decisions have to be like super quick.
Yeah.
And to be like you went between the legs to enter the zone and then you pull that off, like in that span, like the between the legs thing is one thing to have that in your arsenal that you're ready to pull out, but the between the legs, oh,
just unreal. Absolutely unreal.
Filthy. Quick shout out though, he played in the same league I played in, juniors, by the way.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
The EHL?
EHL, buddy.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Did he have as many goals as you did?
You know, my goals per shift ratio was incredible. Probably better than his.
Your goals per shift ratio. That's a good stat. That's a good advanced stat there.
My goals per shift slash points
per shift. You
should
use that
great.
To get yourself a tryout.
Yeah, you know, that's Coach Christie. Holla at your
there
boy.
There you go.
Holla
guy.
At your boy. Goals point per shift stat leader right here in the E-Show.
Yeah.
All right, go.
Anyways.
What are you going with your... Wait, did you...
That was my call-up.
Oh, okay, so
my
you...
call-up actually brings us to my sit. The Dallas Stars as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
I had such high expectations for these guys coming into the season, and they've started 1-6.
Yep, that is a tough look
I'm
for you right
now. I'm super upset that these guys, who I thought had so much talent, have done so poorly. Ben Bishop hasn't looked great. They lost to the Blue Jackets that night, and I don't understand...
Yeah,
how
no,
a team
it's...
with that much talent loses to the Blue Jackets, who are depleted. And the Blue Jackets, their credit, they've started 3-3. But I'm definitely sitting the Dallas Stars after this poor start. Hopefully they can figure it out before it's too late, because once you get behind the eight ball so much, it's really hard to climb your way back to the top of the standings.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I mean, it's like you have to honestly think to yourself, though, is it age? I mean, Dallas has to be one of the oldest teams in average age.
Let's save some
league.
Of that for our conversation later.
Oh?
Because I do want to talk about them a little more detail during our main event.
Okay, that's fair. Stick around for that one.
Absolutely.
So
don't go
Anthony
anywhere.
Anthony start, call up, sit in that order.
I appreciate you getting the order right there.
I'm trying, buddy.
Yeah, so, Vinny disappointed me today. He told me that we're not doing any drops today.
I don't have any drops.
We don't have the drops today, so I apologize that there was no wild card drops during... my start sit call ups, but if you want to while you're watching, just say it to yourself.
Exactly.
If that helps,
yeah,
just yell wild card to yourself. That'd be great.
But what's funny is to pull the curtain back even more, we have no producer this show.
We do. He's in his bedroom. Amish Mike in his bedroom, chatting up the ladies right now. He's still the producer.
I'm sorry. Oh man, that was actually really funny,
Mike.
The producer is in the bedroom, though.
I think he's sulking because he's a Lightning fan. I think he's just in there sulking at how poor their season started.
He is, but you know, he's also a Wings fan, though, and the Wings have not started off terrible.
As bad as, I think they're 3-4 right now.
Yeah,
they haven't
not,
started off as bad as people would have predicted. They're
young,
more middle of the pack.
Their young core has done very well.
With Tyler Bertuzzi.
So I am getting into my starts, my sits, and my call-ups.
Proceed.
It is Erickson. I'm starting... Erickson Ek, I can't remember his first name. This is terrible radio. Oof. Here.
I actually don't know his first name either. Brett would be very disappointed.
Brett would be very
us.
Disappointed. Let me.
He's a big. He's a big body though.
He is a very big body.
They'd win more games. If they
Joel
planted
Erickson
him in,
Ek.
Joel Erickson Ek. They'd win more games. If they planted him in front of them on the power play. I tell you that.
So
I actually said that on the View from the Wild podcast that I was on.
Oh,
go check that out, everyone, if you haven't. That's Brett's other podcast.
For sure. But I'm starting Joel Erickson Ek. This guy. I don't know if you saw it. When the Wild are playing the Montreal Canadiens the other night, Erickson Ek blocked not one.
When they lost 4-0.
Yes. But this is a bright spot. He blocked not one, not two, but three slap shots. And you might think, okay, there's slap shots. All three of them,
not just any slap
were
shot,
from one of the arguably the hardest slap shot in the league today in Shea Weber. He took three slap shots from the point. He blocked three slap shots from Shea Weber.
And after the game, he just went straight to the ice.
It was like it was within like a 30 second span.
Yeah,
like it was absolutely incredible. Ultimate Furta move.
It's a lot of heart. A lot of heart, Furta.
A lot of heart, Furta. Joel Eriksson Ek getting the start here. I am sitting. Let's see. I'm sitting.
get the notes out, bud. Let's see.
I'm sitting the Jack Hughes usage. And this is what I was alluding to earlier. I'm sitting the Jack Hughes usage because, like you said, there's been a lot of hate for Jack Hughes not producing as much as a lot of people
hope.
He's
only playing like 10 minutes a night.
Not only that, but I heard this stat this interesting take from some of the guys on Sirius XM, the NHL on Sirius XM. Mm-hmm. They were talking about Jack Hughes' usage, and they were literally saying that Jack Hughes has maybe like two actual offensive zone faceoffs this season. Through those four or five games.
Not really setting him up success like
so,
that.
So, like, I mean, you're not – it's – and I'm from what I've seen in the New Jersey games, they're not really letting Jack Hughes develop or make these mistakes as a young player. I mean, you have 82 games. Why not – you put your young star out there and let him develop and make those mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and build on it. And it's – I mean, he's got Taylor Hall with him. He's got a great supporting cast with him. Let him make those mistakes. So I'm sitting the usage of Jack Hughes, and what I'm attaching to this is a little side note going off the rails here.
Okay. Going off the rails, our specialty.
Reminding everyone what we said at the beginning when Jack Hughes was drafted and when we were previewing the Metro, Kaapo Kakko is ready for this league now. Jack Hughes has to have time to develop. He's a young kid. He is small, undersized kid. He has to have time to develop. No one you have to look back at the offseason and remember that. Yes, he was a number one overall pick, but he still has to develop. This isn't Connor McDavid. This isn't any other first overall pick. This is a kid that has exceptional potential. Brendan Smith. Sorry, I got distracted by the
Yeah, I was looking at him too. I was like, yikes. Ugh.
This kid has exceptional talent and exceptional potential. Let him develop, especially New Jersey. Like the coaching staff for New Jersey, let him develop. I'm calling up.
Well said.
Oh, well, shucks. I'm calling up.
Just keep the notes. Just keep your notes out. What is your wrong
I'm
with
sorry,
you?
I'm sorry. I'm calling up a Jonathan Quick trade.
Who?
Yes. I'm calling up a Jonathan Quick trade for the Los Angeles
Kings. You think Campbell can carry the torch?
I'm not saying he can't, but I'm saying this team is in rebuild mode.
Okay.
And Jonathan Quick is not helping them in this rebuild. There's a difference between what Henrik Lundqvist is doing for the Rangers. He wants to be there. He's buying into the rebuild. Jonathan Quick hasn't really come out and said he's okay with this rebuild. And he's got a lot of talent and a lot of potential still left in the tank. And he needs a change of scenery right now. That's the biggest thing. So I'm calling up a Jonathan Quick trade to allow Jonathan Quick to be able to play at his level. And allow the Los Angeles Kings to be able to rebuild. Because, I mean, they could get a good haul for Jonathan Quick, wouldn't you say?
At his age, injury risk? Haul. No, I don't think so.
I mean, you can maybe get a... I mean, you can probably get... towards trade deadline...
Maybe like a second and third round pick at the most.
You don't think you can get at least a first?
No, I wouldn't. As a coach or a GM, I wouldn't want that for my team.
But he could be your goal.
He's too old and too injury prone.
That's fair.
When he's healthy, he's great. He's at the top of the league for sure.
And right now, he's at the bare bottom of the league.
He can't stay healthy. He's probably not healthy right now.
Yeah, that could be true.
His groin has never been the same.
Yeah, no, it's...
He hurt it, three or four years ago, and he's never come back and played at full season or looked consistently good.
Yeah, no, that's...
He's probably still playing hurt. He's getting older. The guy won his cups. He's had a great career.
He had his time.
He's in the twilight of his career now, and that's just the way it is. He's not going anywhere because he's not going to get traded anywhere worthwhile. And the Kings aren't going to be good, but that's fine because they're not going to be good without him either.
You know, the first team that pops in my head as a team that could use a goaltender, it's San Jose. And I don't think LA is trading Jonathan Quick to their division rival in the San Jose Sharks. So
no, absolutely not.
So that, but I'm still calling up for a trade to let him try and get back to what he used to be. Calling up Jonathan Quick. I'm starting Joel Eriksson Ek for the 3 shot blocks on Shea Weber, and I'm sitting the Jack Hughes usage. There's a lot of usage hate here. The Austin Matthews usage and the Jack Hughes usage is just not okay.
I think part of it is being that at the beginning of the season, coaches are still trying to figure out a perfect formula to how to run their team, and maybe they haven't found it out yet. But I will say, having Austin Matthews in the last few minutes of a game that you need to win,
I mean, that's a game.
That's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's a thing that you should
obviously
know.
I can forgive the Jack Hughes play because he's young. You're trying to see where he fits in this. You're trying to see if this is a player who you can keep up with the big club to help them be successful.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Are you ready, Anthony? Are you ready?
Let's do it.
It is now time for the main event. We're going to see who's hot and who's not. And we kick things off with myself talking about a team that is hot. Hot, hot. The Carolina Hurricanes
Red Hots
are hot, man. And I might have made a mistake at the beginning of the season when we did our season previews. I was very skeptical about Peter Mrazek.
I think a lot of people were.
Obviously, it still remains to be seen whether he can do it for a full stretch of a season. But Peter Mrazek has looked really good. And the Carolina
when
Hurricanes.
When he's healthy, he's a good goalie. Remember, last year in the playoffs, he was very good up until he got hurt. And then when he came back, he was playing through an injury and did not look the same.
Yeah, no, he has looked very good to start this season, coming up with some huge wins for Carolina. They are hot right now. Anthony, I got to ask you, do you see this continue? Because right now, Carolina is one of the hottest, like at the I think they're top 5 in the league.
Yeah, there's nothing happening in Carolina right now that makes me think it's a fluke or it's short term. They have good players. Jordan Staal has been a great captain to this point. They're getting consistent goaltending from Peter Mrazek. I really think they can continue this.
I agree. I mean, I think that this is a team that is getting points where getting goals from guys that you wouldn't expect goals from, getting goals from guys that you would expect goals from.
Teuvo Teravainen.
Bingo. There you go. Teravainen with some huge goals. Words, not good at it.
Nope.
Teravainen getting some good goals. Jake Gardner has been an incredible signing for them at a discount price.
Yes. He was under the spotlight in Montreal. He was the scapegoat
Where?
For every little thing that they – or Toronto.
Teams.
Shut up.
Who's in the Atlantic?
I have no idea. If anyone can tweet at me who's in the Atlantic, I would love to know. That would be fantastic.
That'd be huge.
Anyways, Jake Gardner was a scapegoat in Toronto for a lot of their problems on defense. He comes to a new team in a smaller market. He's looked awesome.
Second best team in the league, and second best team in the East right now.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
Crazy.
You think they hang on for a playoff spot?
I do.
I do too.
I do, and that kind of contradicts what I said in the beginning of my predictions.
I don't remember where I had them at the beginning of the season, but I don't think I had them in the playoffs. But the way they look, they just look like they can. They look like the way they're playing that they can continue it. It doesn't look like some hot streak where they're getting 3 or 4 goals from a guy who you know is not going to keep it up. Scoring is coming from a lot of different places. They look solid defensively. And again, Peter Mrazek looks awesome.
Definitely, definitely. So it remains to be seen if Peter Mrazek can carry that through the season.
Yeah, agreed.
We will see.
Agreed.
We will see. Anthony, who is your team that you think is hot right now?
The Edmonton Oilers.
Ooh.
They have looked awesome. I think it's finally coming together for them. I think that they've had the talent. Now they're finally getting some good goaltending. Mike Smith has been good. The real deal, James Neal, has been awesome. I don't think he's going to be as good as he started the season. It's impossible to keep up that stat line.
Yeah.
He's not going to get 400 goals this year. But he's going to be great. He's going to continue to be good, especially playing with guys like Draisaitl and McDavid, who are also great in their points. I think McDavid has like 17 points in 8 games or something.
Did you just look at that on my
phone? No, I didn't. I was looking at it earlier. I prepared for the show.
That was pretty incredible.
I prepared for the show. I I think he's great. They got the old coach from Phoenix. What's his name?
Not Tippett. What's his name?
Isn't it Tippett?
No, it's not.
It's not Tippett.
It's not Dave Tippett. Is it? Is it Tippett?
I thought it was Dave Tippett.
Is it Dave Tippett? Yeah. Okay. It is Dave Tippett. It's Dave Tippett.
He is great. He has an awesome rapport with Mike Smith.
Yeah.
From their days in Arizona, I think that's helping, and I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely helping this team, putting the guys in the right spot, and they're doing really well. Their hot start to the season may not continue at the pace it's going, but if they miss the playoffs, I would be very surprised. They are hot, and I think they're going to stay very competitive this year.
You have them continuing this streak.
They're not going to continue this tear.
Well, you think that they're going to be consistent.
They're going to be consistent enough throughout the season, in my opinion.
See, I'm on the opposite
to make
end
the playoffs.
Of
you think that? Okay, with all the talent they have on offense, I'm not saying they're going to win the cup, but I really think they're going to score enough goals this year to be in the playoffs.
Can you? I mean, think about it though. Do they really have all that talent on offense?
Yes.
You think they can be a Boston Bruins? So you're basically saying they can be a Boston Bruins here.
That first line's going to be unreal.
Very top heavy, yes. And that can actually carry them
into a playoff spot. I'm not saying a cup, a playoff spot.
I can possibly see that happening though. I can agree with that. I can see that happening with a
top heavy
team.
I have a hard time seeing it not happen.
Well, the thing is it's the depth is a real concern. It is a real concern. You look at this, right? I have the stats.
I agree with you. Here. I don't think it's going to matter until we reach the playoffs.
Look at this dramatic difference here. McDavid 17, Draisaitl 15. This is points here. 17, 15, 9, 9. Then you go down to 6, 5, 2, 2, 1. There's just not a lot of depth from depth production from the Edmonton Oilers.
And there won't be.
And maybe there will be. But I
don't see them
not
getting depth production, and I don't think it's going to matter in the regular season.
That's a fair take. I am on the opposite end though. I think that Edmonton does slow down because of that production. I'm not sure if James Neal can continue this streak. And I feel obviously he's not going to continue playing at the pace he's playing at, but I don't think he's going to be able to. I feel like we're going to see a really long cold stretch from James Neal eventually.
I think that he's not going to. He's not going to keep up the pace he's on now. But I think playing with Connor McDavid, getting a lot of power play time, there's no way he's just gonna leave.
You know, shame on me for thinking this. Edmonton Oilers are gonna win the cup. You know why? Because there's the rumors out there that they're gonna acquire Taylor Hall.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. If it did, they would definitely move up in my cup contender rankings. I will say this, to play devil's advocate.
Devil's advocate?
The
ding.
The Pacific Division, good or not, is much more competitive than we anticipated.
Yes.
The Canucks have played well. The Coyotes look great. They had an awesome game last night. They were getting goals. Phil the Thrill scored a couple goals for the Coyotes last night. They look good.
Oh yeah, he's getting up there.
The Sharks don't look that great. They may be at the bottom still, unless you know Patty Marleau can continue his magic. I think he had like 2 goals in his debut.
That team.
So that's good. But so the division is more competitive than we thought. Even the Ducks look good.
Yes.
I think that this team, I think the Ducks are going to tail off. I think the Kings are going to stay at the bottom. I do think the division's more competitive, which to your point, I think that may give them trouble.
And that's a team that
especially down the stretch when teams are battling for playoff spots, they're going to have much harder contests.
And now we move into a team that is my not team. We discussed it earlier. You just said it.
Not so hot.
Not so hot team. And it's the Los Angeles Kings. And
yeah.
They have been
3-game losing streak right now.
They have been really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like really bad. It's incredibly bad. Todd McClellan is now behind the bench in Los Angeles. Drew Doughty's frustrated. Jonathan Quick has struggled like immensely in Los Angeles. I'm pretty sure Jonathan Quick right now is like, it has like one of the worst goals against average in the league, like 6 goals against.
They lost 3-0 to Buffalo last night. That was with their backup goaltender, Jack Campbell.
Oof.
But still, he hasn't looked good. Campbell hasn't looked great. Their defense is struggling, even with Doughty. Obviously, they're not scoring. They're on a three-game schneid right now. I think this is just going to be who they are this year.
Yeah. We both had them at the...
I don't see much. I know it's still early in the year, and I keep on saying on all the teams that are hot that they're going to keep going. And the team that's not hot is going to keep going. So it seems a little early. But okay. The way things are going, like I said earlier, what the eye test is showing right now is that the Kings...
don't look good.
They don't look good, and they're not going to look good.
Now, it's something I hope this isn't taking your not-so-hot team next, but I didn't
prepare any. I was just hoping you were going to tell me the teams.
Well, then, good. Okay. So I have the next not-so-hot team that I just had to immediately bring up because we talked about
the
Los
Angeles.
Did
you make notes for this or not?
No, I didn't. Jeez. Because we literally came up with this main event like 20 minutes before the show.
We did. But I wanted to talk about something that is going on in the league right now, and this is talking about what's actually happening.
You just brought up the next team I want to talk about as a not-so-hot team. We talk about the Los Angeles Kings being not-so-hot and not changing throughout the season. It's pretty obvious. Now, a team that has potential, the Minnesota Wild. You went on Brett's show. I've been on Brett's show. I've heard all the Wild talk all the past few weeks, and they are, at this point right now, the worst team in the National Hockey League. And I hear what's talked about on the radio of like people about how the Wild are just awful. Awful, awful, awful. What is going on, and does it change?
I do think this is a team that I do think it'll turn around for them. They had a few tough games at the beginning of the year. I went on Brett's show, View from the Wild, check it out, to talk about this. In their loss to Winnipeg, I think it was their third game, they had 38 shots on goal. They Yes. outplayed Winnipeg. They just didn't get the result they wanted. I think right now it's a confidence issue.
Yes.
They need to right the ship. Players only meeting.
I was about to say that
They had a players only meeting after the loss last night. I think this team is too talented, too good to continue the poor play that they've had. What are they? 1-5?
They are 1-6.
I was going to say they've won a game, right? They beat Ottawa, right?
Yes, they're 1-6 right now.
Yeah, so they're 1-6. It doesn't look good for them. But if you are a Minnesota Wild fan, there is hope. There's too much talent on that team to keep up the way they're going.
Okay, so now we go into the last hot team, and then I have some quick takes for you.
Okay.
The Buffalo Sabres are number one in the National Hockey League right now. And I've seen this story before, last season and a few seasons ago.
They went on a huge hot streak at the beginning of last season.
Then missed the playoffs. Sabres go, like, they roll through, like, October and November and a little bit into December, and they're, like, red hot. And then they just go into a complete shell in January and so on. And... is this Buffalo Sabres for real, Anthony? You have them in the playoffs.
I had them making the playoffs. I'm on record saying they will make the playoffs.
They look great.
Number one in the league is a little much. They will return to the mean. They're not going to get the scoring they've been getting. But they look good this year. Darlene has made that next step to be what I think is an elite defenseman in this league. Maybe you can't consider him that this year, but I guarantee you by next season... we'll be talking about Rasmus Dahlin as an elite defenseman in this league. And to have a guy like that on your back end makes a huge difference. And it makes a huge difference on your power play. It makes a huge difference on the breakout on 5-on-5. Things like that is what is going to keep this team relevant in this league this year. I think they're going to make the playoffs. They won't be at number one. They're not that good.
They're like what Carolina was last year or the Islanders were last year. They're that Cinderella story team.
Yeah.
They don't expect to go into the playoffs, but they do, and they do some damage early on.
I agree. I think that they prove a lot of people wrong, make the playoffs, probably a first or second round exit, but they're making that next step. And for their fan base, Buffalo making the playoffs is a huge step.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's what they want. They want their team in the playoffs this year. I feel like if they can do that, that's the goal. They'll be happy with that.
And there's one of their key contributors right now leads the team in goals, Victor Olofsson, who is a rookie. And as of right now, he leads the Calder Trophy race. Capo isn't there. Yeah. Jack Hughes isn't there. No. Victor Olofsson is there. He leads that team with 6 goals this season
He's looked great.
He has looked good.
What's impressed me most about him, probably what's not impressing anyone or else or no one else even cares, in the preseason, This kid took a hit where he got thrown into the bench.
Yeah.
He pops back up, laughs with big, big smile on his face. Like he was just almost like he's like, yeah, this is it. This is the NHL. I'm pumped. He got right back on the ice and was zipping around. This kid has heart. He's got the skill. I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps it up and makes a nice unexpected call to run.
Yeah. Because
to be honest, before the preseason started,
no one had him on there.
I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, exactly. No one had him on there, and it's great to see. It really is. I mean, you look
agreed.
At it. You think it's going to be a two-man race between Capo and Jack Hughes, and Victor Olofsson steps up. But Buffalo is rolling right now. They're hot. You say it continues. I say it continues. Let's see here, Anthony. Let's round out the main event here. I'm going to pick five teams from the bottom of the league, and then I'm going to pick five teams from the top of the league, and you're going to tell me which team stays on that role and then which team does not.
A little pretender or contender, huh?
A little, beginning of the season contender pretender.
All right, let's go.
We'll go with the top five in the league. Other than the teams we mentioned, we're not going to do Edmonton. We're not going
to
do Buffalo. We're not going to do Carolina.
Do you want me to answer if I think they're going to stay where they are, or if they're going to make the playoffs?
Are they going to stay hot?
Because
I mean, right? Buffalo is that team where you answer are they going to stay hot? So I'm going to pick five of the top 10 teams.
Go ahead.
Some of those teams.
Go ahead.
And you're going to answer if they're going to stay hot or not. So five teams: Colorado, Boston, Anaheim, Pittsburgh, and Vegas.
Okay.
Which one of those teams do you think can stay hot and continue building on what they have?
Absolutely. Out of all of those, it's Colorado.
They're a team that we have.
They've gotten deeper. They signed their guy Rantanen. They're getting good goaltending, which I always bring up goaltending because I'm a goalie guy, but they are. I have two teams, so I'm going to say it.
Go for it.
The Penguins. They're 5-2 right now.
Yes.
They have a lot of injuries, but they're still getting it done. If they can get the guys back who they're missing, they're going to be a great team. Sidney Crosby is still the best player in the NHL, in case anyone was wondering.
Alert the crowd.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby is still really freaking good at
hockey. No one is stronger on the puck in a one-on-one situation than Sidney Crosby. He's out there fighting. He's scoring goals. He's having himself a great start to the season.
It's like
they're going to be relevant just like they always
are. It's like you look at it, all the talk in the offseason, and lately it's always about McDavid, Matthews, Tavares. And, I mean, Sidney Crosby, you just kind of just now expect this, and you're not really – he's not being talked about. He does this season, and it's like
he's still the best player in the league by a wide margin.
This season, I'm calling this right now. Sidney Crosby is going to lead the league in goals at the end of the year and points.
Points, maybe.
Goals
I don't
and points.
Think he will lead the league in goals.
Goals and points. Sidney Crosby is really good.
I will bet you that Nathan MacKinnon has more goals.
Okay, I'm not betting that.
Okay.
So, before we get into the not teams, the last not things, what do you make of Anaheim? Yeah, I am chicken.
That's right.
We have like 20 B-dubs bets right now that like I don't even remember what
happened. Did we bet earlier? We bet on football earlier.
We bet. No, we didn't bet on
football.
Oh,
you didn't take that either.
I didn't take that bet either. No. Not going to happen.
Come on, man.
What do you make of the Anaheim Ducks? We're wrapping this up here, bud. What do you think of the Anaheim Ducks? They're 5-2 to start the season. John Gibson, once again, is literally carrying that team.
No way that keeps up.
We talked about Buffalo earlier. They played Buffalo the other night, and that game got real chippy. Real, real chippy. I think at the end of the game, I can't remember who got the fine at the end of the game, but he came. I don't know. Did you see it? At the end of the game, Ducks guy comes like the
Anaheim Ducks guy. Stunning analysis.
I can't remember the guy's name. He got suspended or he got a fine. Let's see if I can pull it up here.
Just talk about what happened.
Okay, I will. So Anaheim Ducks player comes up while the Buffalo Sabres player is coming to dap the goalie. They're having a good time. Anaheim Ducks player comes up and face washes the guy and takes him down. And
is this after the game?
Chaos ensues. Yes,
wait,
it was
wow.
after the. It was either at the end of the game or after the period, because chaos ensued and it was insane. I couldn't believe that he had the balls to go and do that. Like he literally skated all the way to throw to bring the guy down. You Google search the worst stuff. Like, you didn't even Google search the right stuff, bud. Anthony is trying to look it up, but you should look up the scuffle.
I have no idea.
You should look up a scuffle. You should just search Anaheim Ducks player suspended or fined. All right.
Okay.
Let's get into the top five of the worst teams and who picks it up. We're going Dallas, Chicago, the Rangers, and San Jose. That's four teams. And
before we get into that, it was Ducks Nick Ritchie.
That's it.
Fined for roughing on Vladimir Sobotka.
It was rough. Sobotka. It was rough. Watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it real quick.
Make sure your thing's on mute though. So, Anthony,
yes.
I guess I will answer this first while you watch that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, out of the five teams that I mentioned, there's Dallas, Chicago, the Rangers, Philly, and San Jose. Out of those teams who I think make a huge step forward, moving forward and pick up their play, I'm looking at the San Jose Sharks, obviously. And their team right now, they're sitting at 3-4. They have not gotten – yeah, that was the play. Yep. And, yeah, it's – Omar gets in the play. So, sorry, this is terrible audio. San Jose Sharks pick it up. Martin Jones hasn't done great. He'll figure it out. The San Jose Sharks now got the spark of Patrick Marleau back into the lineup. It's a huge addition for the San Jose Sharks. They figure it out. Another team that I think figures it out, though, is the – I guess they shouldn't have named Philly in this. They've only played five games, so I can't really count Philly on that. But the Chicago Blackhawks are another team. They haven't played that many games. I think they figure it out. They pick up the pace. They start playing well. Who do you think out of the bottom teams picks it up?
I disagree with the Chicago pick.
Really?
By the way, I just think that they're going to be who they've been the past couple seasons.
We are who they thought they were.
Yeah, what a video. But I think they're going to be who they have been the past couple seasons.
So what did you think of that video, by the way? Live take.
It's definitely worth a fine, not a suspension.
Did you just look at those girls and get distracted?
A little bit. It was an ad. It was an ad. I didn't make this happen. It's an ad. What am I supposed to do? Jeez. Sorry. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. Where were we? Before we went off the rails again.
We need to wrap this up.
Chicago Blackhawks, I think, are going to be who we thought they were. Pretty much stay towards the bottom, not making the playoffs. What were the other options that you gave me as far as teams that you think are going to pick it up?
The Rangers, the Flyers, the Sharks, and the Stars.
The Stars definitely are going to pick it up. Oh, yeah.
I think they're
way too good. Sagan, Ben, I think Ben Bishop is a – I've changed my opinion on him. I think he's a very good goaltender.
Wow.
I think he's
– wow.
I think this team will figure it out, right the ship for the playoffs – And they're gonna make a run. They're too good of a team. Last year, they lost in seven games to the Stanley Cup winning St. Louis Blues in overtime. They were that close to moving on. They're way too good of a team to be playing as poor as they've been playing. It's simple. They're gonna pick it up.
I have your Chicago Blackhawks take for the Dallas Stars. I'm very skeptical on the Dallas Stars.
What makes you think that they're not gonna turn based on what you've seen? And who they have, what makes you think that they're not going to turn it around?
I'm not so sure.
I'm a little frustrated.
I'm not so sure Joe Pavelski is comfortable in Dallas, and I don't think Corey Perry – I think both those players might be a little bit past their prime.
They're definitely past their prime, but in the roles that they're in, I think they can be successful.
And I look at it –
Pavelski's still a great leader, especially when things get tough like this. A guy like Pavelski is who you want in the locker room.
I look at it like the Edmonton thing, where they're very top heavy, and I don't think that top is that heavy to where they can push them to the playoffs.
I think Sagan and Ben are two of the best forwards in the NHL.
I don't think them alone can get you to. I don't think that those two alone can right the ship by themselves. If Dallas is going to pick it up,
well, what do you think
they're
about that?
Going to be getting?
What do you think about that? Rupe Hintz and John Klingberg.
I mean, Rupe Hintz. I mean, those are two good players, but I don't think it's enough. I just don't, especially being in a tough Western Conference.
So you think they're going to miss the playoffs?
I'm not. Yes.
Would you? Would you?
I would
B-dubs bet
you that Dallas does not make the playoffs.
Okay. All right.
I just signed my life away.
You did, because they're going to make the playoffs.
That's like your Montreal winning the Stanley Cup.
You make my words.
What?
You make my words.
What reference is that?
It's from Trailer Park Boys.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Because Ricky, he doesn't say Mark words. He says, you make my words, Julian.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's wrap it up here, buddy. That was Who's Hot, Who's Not, our takes on that. That was all of our segments. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. Anthony does a great job running all of those. And, of course, you've watched us all along on YouTube. Are you trying to not laugh at the cat meowing, like going absolute ape shit?
Oh, Lord, what is it doing?
That is the benefit of having Alicia here. She puts all the animals in the bedroom, and we don't have to worry about anything.
The zoo you have at your house.
It's mayhem. It's not the house. It's the studio. It's the people's studio.
Oh, sorry. I just broke the fourth wall. Sorry.
Don't break kayfabe.
Damn it.
On that note, folks, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Power Play Podcast. For Anthony, the backup, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you. Have a good night or day whenever you're listening. Or watching.
Oh, I was going to say, see, you ruined it.
You ruined it.
See ya. No, that didn't sound good at all. That was weird. Cut. We're going to end it out. We're ending it out.
All right.